Amen. Brother Larry, you come on tonight. Brother Hunter's got some CDs from just a love offering. After the service, he'll have them if you're interested in them. Appreciate this couple coming, their family. Appreciate Brother Larry Neal. Amen. Thank God for this brother. Been a help to my heart, and I thank God for him. He'll preach tonight. You pray God use him. You got it on.
Turn with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm number 8. Psalm number 8, if you want to stand with me, and we read the Word of God. And I want to look in verse 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? You can be seated. What is man? How did you get here? Where'd you come from? You just didn't accidentally come into being and have life. You didn't come from a Big Bang Theory, or you didn't come from a bunch of monkeys. But God took the dust of the ground and formed a man and breathed the breath of life into him, and he became a living soul. God created him, and he also created you through procreation. Everyone that's in here tonight, God has created you through procreation. He's the one that breathed the breath of life into you, and you became a living soul. And we're living in a day and our people don't realize so many things are happening today that's outside of the plan of God and outside of God's word. But God's made it clear in his word where that we came from, how that we exist, and how that he sustains and keeps us. Job said, man that's born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He springeth forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. James said in the book of James that man's life is like a vapor. It appeareth for a little time and then it vanisheth away. David said that man was born in sin and shapen in iniquity. In sin, he said, did my mother conceive me? We're here tonight because that God created us for a purpose. And that purpose is to fellowship with him. He longs for the fellowship of man. He made man like he made no other creature. Never did he make anything else after his own image and his own likeness. But he chose to make man and make him and after his own image and in his own likeness. And he delegated authority to Adam in the garden and garden of Eden. And Adam fell and brought sin to humanity. And everyone that's born in this world is born in sin. We don't become sinners. We're born sinners. And we sin because we're sinners. But God, when he created Adam, he took the dust of the ground, something that you really can't even hold in your hand, and he formed man out of the dust of the earth, and he breathed the breath of life into Adam, and he became a living soul. And so we have the body here, and we have the soul here. here, and we have the Spirit here. And God, the Lord Jesus, told us he seeketh men to worship in spirit and in truth. We can worship no other way. It must be in spirit and in truth. But listen, when you look into the Word of God, you find that spirit is always first. A spirit, soul, and then body. And so God made us that way after his own likeness. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And so we're made in the likeness of God. But through sin, we become different than what God made us at the beginning. And so God longs for us to worship him. God longs for us to have fellowship with him. And we can only do that through spirit and truth. But listen, man that's born in this day has no spirit that he can commune with God with. Our spirit died in Adam. And when Adam sinned, his soul did not die, his body did not die, but his spirit died. And so, what did he do? His soul took over the place of the spirit. You see, the spirit leads the soul, and the soul the body. And so, the soul took over the place of leadership of the spirit that God breathed into Adam. The breath, you say, well, is God's spirit? No, it wasn't. It was a spirit that God formed. Zechariah 12:1. Read it for yourself. God formed the spirit just like he formed the body. And when he put them together, there was a soul. What's the soul's purpose? The soul's purpose was to follow the spirit. But when Adam sinned, the soul took the place of the spirit. What are the faculties of the soul tonight? The faculties of the soul is man's will, man's emotions, and man's intellect, his mind. All other faculties proceed from these three main faculties. And so a man took over the place of the spirit, the soul took over. And when we think of the will of man, we think of self, because self took over. It wasn't the purpose of God for the soul to take the place of the spirit. And so when Adam died, his spirit died, but he lived on, and he covered himself with fig leaves and hid himself amongst the trees, lost fellowship with God, ran from God, didn't want God. And that's what everyone does that's born into this world. When he comes to the age of accountability, he chooses self instead of God. He don't want nothing to do with God. You don't want nothing to do with God if you're lost without God tonight. Unless God moves upon you, you'll control yourself through the faculty of the will that's in the soul, because your spirit is dead to God. But Ephesians 2:1 says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. What did he do, preacher? He regenerated my spirit one day and made it alive unto God when his spirit regenerated my spirit. He come and dwells. The Holy Spirit dwells in my spirit. And now I have the privilege to worship God in spirit and in truth, because through regeneration of the spirit, I've been made alive unto God. And now I can fulfill a part of the purpose that God created me for, because I can worship him, and because I can have fellowship with him. The hymn writer wrote, he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. Thank God for the blessed day that God moved on my heart and regenerated my spirit and made me alive unto the living God. Something I could not do for myself, but the great God of heaven, the mighty God of creation that made this old dust come to form and put his spirit on the inside of me, has brought me to the position that I can walk and talk with him. Where'd you come from? If you're not saved, you don't much know what I'm talking about. But through regeneration, I've also been reconciled to God. I was an enemy of God, had no use for God, didn't want God. But through the Lamb of God, oh, the blessed Lord Jesus Christ that took my place on Calvary and became my substitute and God's sacrifice. And through that substitutionary work and the sacrifice of the Lamb of God that shed his precious blood for me, I've been reconciled back to God through regeneration and conversion, converted unto the rule of God in Christ Jesus. And he leads me and he teaches me and he guides me in whatsoever that I do. My Lord told the apostles, I go away, but I'm going to send a comforter, and he'll lead you and teach you and guide you in whatsoever that you do. I've been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Why, preacher? Because God regenerated my spirit and quickened me and made me alive unto the true and living God. And thank God I'm alive forevermore. It's not going to last a day or two or a year or two. He said everlasting life, eternal life. Oh, I'm living tonight. I'm living. I'm living in Jesus. I can't live in myself, but thank God I can live in him. I've got what this world don't have, but what they can have if they will turn to God and realize that Jesus Christ is Lord tonight. Soul, if you're lost, is ruling you. Your will, your intellect, your mind, your emotions are all a part of the soul. And if a man's really saved, he can tell the counterfeits. Tell me that it's not so, and I'll prove that it is. self rules. If you're not saved, even from a little child, you do what you want to do. As much as you can, you do what you want to do. And you live for self. And you'll die in self if you don't turn to Christ. Self. God came to save us from self. From sin. Our sins. And to save us from our fear. And deliver us day by day from the power of sin. When God saved us, He didn't form the spirit that He did in Adam when He first created Adam. But what He done, He regenerated our spirit by the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit lives in our spirit and makes us able to worship God in spirit and in truth. We can do nothing with soul worship. It must be through the Spirit. And you see, the Spirit that was formed and placed into Adam by God directed the soul and directed the body. But when he fell and when he sinned and fell, then the Spirit died and the soul took over. And so self took over. Self took over. And Adam, the proof of that is when self took over, the soul took the place of the Spirit, and then Adam didn't want God. So man don't want God until he's had his spirit regenerated. In other words, until he's saved. And so then the Spirit takes over the place that it was intended to be to start with. And what God is doing, he's bringing a people out of this world and has been since Christ, even before Christ. He's bringing people out of this world that will form the complete body of Christ. And God will bring us back to that position and we'll be with him forever and ever and ever. And we'll be with him and we'll sing praises unto him. We'll worship him. We'll glorify him. And we'll be so happy. We'll be so satisfied that nothing can tear us apart or away from being in the presence of God that created us. That spirit that was formed. God knew all of that. He knew what Adam would do before he ever made him. But he already had the plan to rescue him. He already had the plan to bring his creation back and put him in his rightful place that he could worship God. The Lord Jesus gave us the model prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I can picture, Brother Ken, sometimes while I'm praying, I can picture, as the book of Revelation says, those saints of God standing around the throne of God in white robes, clean and pure, worshiping the God of heaven and singing praises unto him. God's going to bring us back. He wants you to be there too. And see, when we get saved, our spirit's regenerated. It takes its rightful place again and begins to lead the faculties of the soul. And see, we've still got that old Adamic nature to contend with. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And by the grace of God and the power of God, I am through the Spirit and the Word of God able to bring the soul into subjection unto the will of God through the Spirit. And I'm able, thank God, he just didn't save me from the penalty of sin, which is hell, but he saved me from the power of sin, and he works in me every day. It's through faith I'm saved by the power of God through faith because I believe what God said. I believe what God done. I've done, received it. It's definite. It's a surety. And God will deliver me from my sins day by day. I'm able to bring the will under subjection to the will of God and kill out the old man. I died on Calvary with him. And through the cross, I'm able, through the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, to bring the soul under subjection to the Spirit of God. And God will lead and guide me in this life. And while he's doing it, he'll give me peace and joy and righteousness and contentment in this life. A purpose for living, a reason for living, and it'll be something that you have never experienced in this world nor can. For the Spirit to have its rightful place again that God created. But see, God knew that that Spirit that he formed was a created spirit. And so he knew before the foundation of the world that it'd fail. He already knew that. But he had this plan of salvation. And instead of forming another spirit like he did in Adam and breathing it into us, what did he do? He gave us a spirit that's uncreated. He gave us his spirit. His spirit. And so there's no failure in his spirit. There's no running away in his spirit. There's no grabbing things wrong in his spirit. There's no going down a wrong path in his spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, the same are the sons of God. Be led of the Spirit of God, and God will bring your soul under subjection to the will of God. You see, that soul still wants the leadership role. Your actions, your emotions, your intellect still wants that leadership position. And so it's a continual warfare. Paul said, that I would do, I do not. That I wouldn't do, that I do. But then he put a but in there. But, oh wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through my Lord Jesus Christ, I can be delivered. You don't know tonight, if you're not saved, what joy really means. You don't realize the workings and doings of God. Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, that little word see means he can't know. He can't understand. He can't comprehend the workings and doings of God. The Spirit must reveal. Everything that God does is through revelation. He reveals everything of his will and his purpose and what he wants in our life. Every bit of it is through revelation. We can read the Word of God apart from Christ, apart from being born again, never understand its meaning, never comprehend what it really means. It's impossible for the unsaved man to comprehend and know the will of God from the Word of God. He cannot comprehend it. He must be regenerated, quickened, made alive unto God. When God saves a person, I know we've heard it many times, but the change takes place in here. Sometimes we don't understand. When I got saved, I didn't fully understand what happened. I just knew there was a great change took place. I knew I had condemnation in my heart. I knew I had guilt and shame in my heart. And when I came to the altar that morning and God saved me, that condemnation was gone. That guilt and shame was lifted. And I felt completely different on the inside. But I still didn't fully understand what took place. I didn't know anything about being regenerated. And then as time went on, I sat in the house of God. I heard the man of God preach. I studied and read the word of God. And I come to some of those words. And sometimes a preacher preach. He talk about being regenerated and kindly expounded on a little bit. And the Spirit of God in me said, that's what happened to you. And I said, yes, Lord, it was. And then other things that he brought to my attention through the preaching of the word of God, and the Spirit revealed to my heart that that had took place in me. And I realized I had been changed, not only on the inside, but it began to work its way on the outside. And I start quitting things and putting things away. I started doing different. I started dressing different. Started acting different. You know why? Because I desired to be led by the Spirit of God. And still do. Why? Because I can't do wrong that way. Spirit can't lead you wrong. Spirit of God cannot lead you wrong. Everything he does is right and good. So we come into being just like Adam did. God breathed the breath of life into us. And we took on Adam's nature because of Adam's fall. And the only way we could get back to the position that God wants us. And listen to this now. If he had formed another spirit and put it into Adam, and said, here, you can start all over. But he didn't do that. You know why he didn't do that? He knew that'd fail again. And so he had to give him someone that couldn't fail. Who was that? That was the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead. He can't fail. So he said, I'm going to place him in man. And he's going to take the place of that form spirit. He's going to regenerate it. He's going to move on it and make it alive again. And the Holy Spirit is going to work in his spirit and lead him and direct him. And so one of these days, we'll go home. And there'll be no more failures. There'll be no more battles. Brother Hunter, there won't be no more wars. There'll be no pain, Brother Danny. And there'll be no sorrow. And thank God there'll be no sin. Thank God, no sin, no sin. I can't even get a hold of a place where there's no sin. So much sin in our world today. But one day, after a while, I'll be in a place where there'll be no sin. All because that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm not going to have it. I've already got it. What's going to die? Spirit's not going to die. Soul's not going to die. Save my soul. So I'm going to be with him. This body will go back to the dust from which it came. But I'll have another body, a glorified body, likened unto the Son of God, that knows no sin, feels no hurt, feels no shame, feels no pain. And I'll be forevermore with the one who died for a wretch like me. Told you the faculties of the soul. I want to mention the faculties of the spirit before I quit. What is the faculties of the spirit? There's three. What could they be? Conscience. That's that little piece of enlightenment that God left in man. Our conscience. Does conscience tell you wrong? When you do something wrong, does it tell you? That's a faculty of the Spirit. And then there's communion. That's a faculty of the Spirit. What's communion? That's how we worship God. And then there's intuition. What's that, preacher? That's first thought through the Spirit. That spiritual discernment that God gives. all of those faculties are in the Spirit. And so God allows us through the Spirit not only to worship and have communion with Him, but to lead us and guide us and teach us in the ways of God. And He never fails. So the soul, when Adam sinned, took over the leadership of the role that God had formed the Spirit. See, that Spirit that God formed and put into Adam was innocent until he sinned. And so through His Spirit, then he was able to commune with God and to walk and talk with God because His Spirit was innocent. But when he sinned, His Spirit died unto God. So he could no longer worship God or have communion with God. And he ran, but one day God came walking. We don't know how long Adam was apart from God through his sin, but we know he was. But one day God came walking in the cool of the day. He said, "Where art thou?" Adam was afraid, but he answered. He blamed it on the woman. The woman blamed it on the serpent. The serpent was cursed. The woman, through childbearing, was put in sorrow through childbearing. And Adam and her were cast out of the garden, never to enter again. But God saved him. Sacrifice that God offered himself. Shed blood, took those skins and wrapped them around. That's a picture of salvation is what that is. And Paul said this, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And this life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Boy, she glad Jesus was willing. He didn't have to. He didn't have to come. God didn't have to do what he done. But he loves us. He loves you, sinner friend. He wants to save you. He wants to have communion with you. He wants to talk with you and walk with you. And he'll let you know that you belong to him. Such a privilege that God has given to mankind. Oh, yes. And through Jesus Christ, God has made it possible for us to enter a place of glory and be there in eternity forever and ever and ever. Never, never to suffer anymore, to sin anymore, never to even be around it anymore. Just an endless day. You say, "Want to get tired of that?" How can you? I've been saved now for 40-something years. And it gets better all the time. And I can't even scratch the surface of what heaven's going to be like. So it's just going to get better and better and better. Throughout eternity. Can you imagine that? Do you realize your makeup tonight, how God made you? I could go into a lot more on this, but I don't feel the need to really. But your flesh, your body, the lust in your body enters into the functioning of the soul and the soul agrees to it. And so sin abounds in the flesh and in the body of man when the soul's in control. But how come when you get saved, you don't want to do what you used to do? You just change completely. Everything becomes new. And then God begins to deal with you about seeing others have what you have. I remember this distinctly. I got saved on a Sunday morning. And before I left the church, I was wanting my wife to be saved. What about that? That's how fast God works. I was wanting her to have what I had. And if you're lost tonight, I want you to have what I have. I have a treasure in here.
that can't be taken away from me. Thank God, it's eternal. It ain't going nowhere except up. Oh, what a privilege to be saved and be in the family of God, to have someone to lead and guide you in everything that you do and make everything right and make you enjoy the right. It's amazing to me what God can do for a person that's lost in sin. God loves you. He wants to save you. He wants to change you completely. He wants to change you. And everything he does is good. Everything. Everything God does is good. He never does wrong. He's the only one that don't. He never does wrong. Wouldn't you like to know this Savior that I'm talking about? Wouldn't you like to be made alive unto God, where that you know that God is real, and God becomes a reality, and you realize without doubt that he has took up his abode in you? Hey, there ain't nothing can compare with that. It's just unspeakable and full of glory. I love you tonight. If you're not saved, I sure want you to be. And I pray for sinners every day. You that are saved, I pray for the body of Christ every day. And God would help us in these last days. And I'm just overjoyed after all these years, Brother Ken. And I can't help it. I get happier all the time. And even when things are going wrong, I'm satisfied, because I know that everything happens, God's got a purpose for it. I love you tonight. Westside Church, I love y'all. It's so good to come down here. I'm through preaching, but it's so good to come down here and see you all that I know, and to look you in the face again, and shake hands with you and hug you. And just my blessed privilege to be here. And I love this man. I always have since I knew him. And me and him's got a lot of things that we share together in the Lord. Even on the phone sometimes. Even riding down the road in a car. God's good, is he not? Amen. I'm through, brother.